A couple of South Eugene High School debate team members just spent a chunk of their summer learning more debating skills, and it would be understandable if they wanted to take some time off. Leo Sanger and Henry Leininger won a third place at a national debate competition in June, so they're good, that's clear. But they packed off to Michigan for 7 weeks of more debate training. Let's learn more about these two young men and the sharpening of their debating skills. Leo Sanger, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Henry Leininger, good to have you as well.
Thank you so much for letting me be on the show.
So, Henry, let's start with you. What got you interested in debate and when? How old were you?
Oh, so I was in sixth grade when I actually started doing debate. I did middle school debate, and I was partners with Leo and one other kid at the time. And my dad was actually the one that got me interested in the beginning. He's a lawyer, and so is my mom. And I don't know, it just kind of runs in the blood a little bit.
It sounds like. So is law school in the offing for you down the road, do you think?
You know, I don't know. I think I might want to deviate a little bit, hopefully. I'm more into science a little bit than my parents are. I don't know.
That sounds like fun. So, Leo Sanger, maybe not lawyers in your family, but what got you into debating as well?
Oh, well, you know, in sixth grade, Henry, you know, came up to me, asked if I wanted to do debate with him in middle school. So I joined the middle school debate team, kind of didn't look back after that. So it's been a good journey.
So what was it that appealed to you, Leo, about getting into the debating in the first place? You didn't tell Henry, forget it. No, I'm never going to do this.
Well, I think it was really kind of the current events and the, you know, being able to talk about these kinds of complicated issues and learn all of these different subjects that are covered that is really interesting to me.
So even in sixth grade, were you, Leo, the kind of guy who would, you know, look at all the news media for the day and figure out what the big stories were and keep up with current events?
I think somewhat, and especially after I started debate in middle school, I think it was really valuable. I got to learn about those kinds of things. Yeah, that was always kind of interesting to me.
So, Henry, tell us about the specialty. There are lots of different kinds of debate. What is it that you guys do?
Yeah, so there's, as far as I know, at least in Oregon, kind of four types of debate or four forms that people can do. So the type that we do is a type called policy debate. And it is where there's one topic for the whole year. This year it is that the United States federal government should substantially increase its diplomatic and or economic engagement with the People's Republic of China. And so we get one topic for the whole year, and kind of the task is to research the nuances and minutiae of that topic so students can learn a lot about it and really get into depth rather than more of a breadth of research.
Since that is such an ongoing topic, I mean, do you guys feel like you have to get up early in the morning and find out what happened over the course of the last 24 hours in the subject area?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, especially right before a tournament, it's kind of important to be really up to date on the current events in China, especially given how volatile and kind of changing the current political system is. So,
Leo, have you guys had to learn some real nuances in the ways that not just that governments relate to one another, but some things about Chinese culture and how certain things are taken diplomatically?
Oh, I think so for sure. At camp, we spent a long time reading about different aspects of U.S.-Chinese history and kind of, you know, the history of relations between the two countries, as well as Chinese perceptions of U.S. engagement throughout, you know, the last couple decades. And that's been very interesting. You know, I mean, the real benefit to having the topic for the whole year is you really get to kind of get into the very nitty-gritty of the details. I think that's very valuable.
It seems like you guys could apply to the State Department for diplomatic posting. You probably know more than some of the diplomats by this point. So talk about, I'm really curious about the policy debate stuff. So what was the topic for last year? I mean, if it's engagement economically and diplomatically with China this year, what was it a year ago?
So a year ago, it was that the United States federal government should substantially curtail its domestic surveillance. So that's when we really got into, you know, discussions of Snowden kind of stuff and the kind of dichotomy between liberty and security and which one to prefer and for what reasons. So it was more around the kind of fiasco that happened over the course of the NSA leaks and all that stuff.
So I have to ask, as much as you guys have delved into the point where you really understand these topics very well, I mean, when you look at the level of debate that goes on in the political arena, I mean, does it seem like they're the kindergartners and you're the high school students, Henry?
Well, I think that we obviously model lots of our arguments off of the arguments they're making. So I think that as far as what I think about the debate that's going on right now, I think that it's a debate to be had, and I think that especially in the arena of surveillance, because I think at this point, because it's so early in the year, I probably am a little bit more knowledgeable about that topic than I am about this one. I think that there are definitely benefits and harms to both sides, and I think that it is a very complex issue as to do we sacrifice liberty in favor of more security, or is the risk so minute that it's not worth it, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's a good debate to be had, and I think they're doing a good job with it.
Very diplomatically said. Henry Leininger and Leo Sanger are South Eugene High School debate team members. They just returned from some fairly intensive training, from the sounds of it, in Michigan. We'll learn more about that in just a moment. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions for the young men about what they've been up to. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's step back in time just a little bit, Leo, and tell us about Salt Lake City and the national championships there.
Oh, that was a very exciting experience because we did not really think that we were going to have a lot of success at Salt Lake City. We really didn't come in there with high expectations. And then somehow we were able to keep debating fairly late onto the tournament. We're able to get third place there, which was very exciting for both of us. That was a good experience.
That's third place nationally in policy debate,
yeah.
The two of you together.
Mm-hmm.
How do you score points in policy debate, Leo?
So basically the way the tournaments work is we have a set of prelim rounds, preliminary rounds, in which you go against preset opponents, and then it breaks into a bracket in which you kind of just debate it out each round until there's only one team left. So basically, you just have a debate against one opponent, and then you just move on to each one after that.
Now, am I reading this right, that you actually have to argue both sides at various times?
Yes. So you switch sides. Pretty much, you should have an even number of debates where you argue the affirmative side of the topic. For example, last year that we should decrease domestic surveillance, and an equal number of debates where you argue the negative side of the topic, that we should not decrease our domestic surveillance.
So what does that end up like in your own head? I mean, you get to have your own opinions. So I wonder what that does when you're having to argue both sides at different times. I mean, whether you can see both sides really, really well, or whether you do end up with your own opinion in the middle of all that, Leo.
Well, I think that just being able to argue both sides, or having to argue both sides, is really valuable because, I mean, it forces you to kind of confront the holes in your own opinions, right? You might come in thinking that domestic surveillance should be decreased, but after researching for long periods of time about, all of the different valuable things that domestic surveillance can bring, you might come across with, the opposite opinion. Honestly, I think that over the course of the year, I've really kind of gotten more nuanced understanding of, what programs it would probably be a good idea if we got rid of, rather what programs are actually helping us enough that we should keep them around.
So I wonder, particularly in the surveillance area, Henry, if when you read things in the news, you can hear certain members of Congress, for example, suggest changes to certain programs. You go, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, I had that effect a lot last year. It was kind of interesting when you're hearing about, Congress people discuss various surveillance policies, and then you're thinking of how you would respond to all of the things that they're saying rather than listening to the actual story. It's kind of something that happens to debaters if they debate for a while.
As much as he travels around the state of Oregon, Senator Ron Wyden, who is on the Intelligence Committee, I wonder if you've had a chance to ever have a chat with him about the stuff you learned in the last year.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, we never actually got to talk to him in person or actually talk to him at all, but there were definitely arguments that we ran that involved mentioning Senator Wyden a lot, which was cool.
So you guys have been through a bunch of competitions. I'm going to guess it sounds like about 5 years' worth of stuff now. Do you still get nervous when you get on the stage at a place like Salt Lake City and have to get right down to it, Henry?
So I don't know if it's as nerve-wracking as it originally was. I mean, after a while, debate kind of becomes like a game. The structure is so kind of repeated that you get used to all of the pressure, and some of your speeches are pre-written. Especially the ones early in the round, which allows for you to kind of get into the flow of things with some prefabricated arguments. So it's not as much nerve-wracking as it once was, but especially when it's in, later rounds or the, later elimination rounds, that it gets a little bit more hard to, stay focused.
And Leo, do you have an idea as you're going along how well you're doing? I mean, you're thinking, whoa, man, I really nailed it on that last one. I'm really scoring some points here.
I think so, yeah. You can definitely feel when you're kind of ahead in a debate, right? And I think people can generally tell when you're ahead. But, of course, you know, it all comes down to the last couple speeches and how those are going to kind of close things up and clean things up and decide who wins. But, yeah, I think you can definitely tell. Sometimes I'll sit down after one. I'll be like, yeah, that was one of the better ones. So that was one of those that didn't go so well.
So I was reading about the Salt Lake City competition taking you guys sometimes past midnight. I mean, do you get breaks? Do you get to sit? And do you get a horse in the midst of all this?
Well, I think that it's pretty difficult to take breaks. I don't think that you really – I mean, the rounds are 2 hours long, and there aren't really significant periods of time in between them, which makes it kind of a draining competition. And, yeah, they last until – the very late hours. So really, there's definitely an endurance aspect of the competition, being able to stay in it and, you know, stay engaged for that long period of time.
Leo Sanger and Henry Leininger are guests on the Jefferson Exchange, both members of the South Eugene High School debate team, took a third nationally in Salt Lake City for a policy debate and then went off to Michigan for 7 weeks of more training. And I want to ask you, Leo, there's a clip of you demonstrating spread style on the Registered Guard webpage, a video clip. What's going on there?
So in policy debate, what we do is we talk very quickly to kind of get more arguments out and be able to interact with more nuance to the other team's arguments. So when we speak, we kind of speak at this very rapid, kind of hard-to-understand pace that's called spreading, which is kind of a conjunction of the word speed and reading. So that's kind of an interesting practice, and it's pretty intimidating if you're just getting into policy debate to hear people talking like that.
Wow, that sounds like the reading of the bills at the beginning of the Oregon legislature. So you barely got the school year over, and off you guys went to Michigan. Henry, give us a sketch of what that training is all about.
So when we go to Michigan, the primary purpose was research. I mean, so research on a topic this broad is kind of challenging, and what's good and unique about debate camp is you have a lot of kids there that can kind of do the same research that you're doing, so it expedites the process a little bit. So basically what it was we had a bunch of either college debate coaches or college debaters that kind of were lab leaders, and they would lead, you know, individual labs of like 30 kids. It was kind of akin to a classroom. And we would all do research on given topics, and then we would combine and share our research at the end of camp. So all of the people that went to the camp had significantly more research than what they started with, which was a lot of fun and also very educational because we got tips and advice from people that were significantly better at debate than we were.
But certainly you could divide up the research, and so you didn't have to all do the same thing, which really broadens out what you're able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So is it like summer camp with cabins, or are you living on dorms at a college campus, or what was the setting?
So we were living in a dorm building. So the past couple years that we've gone to debate camp, and we've gone to some different ones, the consistencies are that it's usually in a dorm building, and it's usually the worst dorm building on the campus.
And how long were your days? I mean, I can imagine with the amount of work you were trying to crunch in, there were fairly long ones.
Yeah, the days were pretty long. So basically we would show up to our lab room, or, you know, basically the classroom at 9:30 or 10 every day, or a lecture, you know, depending on what day it was. And then we would kind of progress through the day, and then we would be able to go back to the dorms at around 10 at night. So it was a pretty long day, but it was a lot of fun.
Are your heads kind of bursting with information about the China and relations now?
Can't think of anything else when I go to bed.
That was the next question. So Leo, when you wake up in the morning, I mean, are these ideas just pouring out of you? I mean, do you feel like you need to argue with somebody now about China just to keep in practice?
Well, I mean, obviously we're going to keep doing research up until the season starts, and then, of course, through the season to keep updated on those things. So I'll be able to get my fill of Chinese relations if I didn't have enough over 7 weeks. I think, part of it was we were able to have a lot of practice debating at the camp as well, which, you know, helped us get better at those kind of specific skills.
Is this subject matter a little easier than last year's subject matter? Because with surveillance, so much is not known. With China, perhaps a little more is. Is that a fair statement?
You know, I would actually say that you could say that this one is a little bit more difficult even, because with surveillance, you know, you have kind of a set number of programs that are going on, but with U.S.-China relations, there are tons of scholars talking about not only, you know, the current programs in existence, of which there are, you know, so many, but, you know, any possible ideas they might have of increasing economic or diplomatic engagement, which, you know, they can come up with all sorts of things. So the topic is possibly even broader than it was last year.
So who chooses the topics for policy debate for any academic year?
So there's a topic committee from the National Speech and Debate Association, and I think they meet sometime in January, and they get together and have some, you know, voting or topic elimination practice, and decide on a topic before the summer, and release it so everybody can have plenty of time to think about it, think about what kind of arguments they're going to read about the topic, and then we debate it out for the year.
So, Henry, quickly, as you mentioned, a debate season. When are the first debates of the year, and do they go all through the academic year?
Yeah, so the first debates for us at least start in early September, so I think either the first or second weekend of September. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but that's when the season kind of begins. And they go all through the academic year, and kind of the big tournaments usually fall towards the end of the year in May or June or something like that.
Okay, you guys have been busy, and you have a lot of busy stuff ahead of you. It's good to talk to both of you. Henry Leininger and Leo Singer, our South Eugene High School debate team members, took a third nationally in Salt Lake City and are ready for this next year to talk about policy with engagement with China. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.